above the horizontal.
Pushes away from McCulloch. Thurston gets the ball to Morgan. Morgan crosses the 20. Comes away to O'Neill. Gets the ball. And Felt has scored. Felt has scored in the corner.
Welcome to Above the Horizontal, a podcast about rugby league and especially State of Origin. Men's Game 3 is on the horizon. My name is Bo Nicholson. I'm the host. I'm joined by three panelists tonight, including some special input from the Big E, Owen Gibson. So really four extra panelists tonight. We don't have Miles Stedman, but we're pretty used to that one. Time of recording is 3:20 on Wednesday, the 10th of July. It's 1 week exactly until State of Origin Game 3, which we will be talking about tonight. First person I want to introduce is from the Central Coast legend, Mr. Daniel Friend. Friendy, how are you going, mate? And do you have a player of the round just gone?
I'm well, thanks, Bo. Legend is a bit of a stretch. but yes, I had a few in mind, but ultimately I went with Keon Kalamatungi, and I think that's almost player of the month for mine. He's been outstanding. 220 metres, 37 tackles, couple of offloads. He was tackle breaks and things, and he's really found his spot in the middle there. I'd move him up to front row and let Cam Murray play lock and have that double penetration. But yeah, I think Keon Kalamatungi for me.
Settle down, mate, with all this sort of dirty talk. That's 2 weeks in a row from you. We also have Kieran Gibson, you might have heard there. Kieran, hello. Welcome to the show. How are you going? And who was your player of the round?
Yeah, we're still Queenslanders.
Thank you. Yeah, please. Cheers.
Yeah, no, I'm good, mate. I only watched the one game over the weekend, but I have to give a nod to a player who's not well rated on the pod, but Kyle Felt. I've really noticed since he broke the Cowboys try scoring record and got back in the side since Valame's injury, he really looks like he's honed back in on the little one percenters. Like his carrying out of yardage has really improved. Like he used to catch the ball for the last 3-4 seasons, and he would just jog into the defensive line, didn't really care about anything else. And now you can see he's really looking to get as far forward as possible. Kick chase is great, and his finishing ability, he's always had it, but it seems to just be getting better and better all the time. He scored another great try against Manly, where he somehow got the ball down, ran for 268 meters, two line breaks, try assist, and he even made three tackles, which is not his strong suit. So, yeah, we ended up ultimately losing. But, yeah, Kyle Felt is shown that at 32, he's still got a career in the NRL for a little bit longer.
He might have been in the frame for Origin, believe it or not. But, yeah, there you go. I agree. He has certainly picked up a little bit. He's actually Christopher Waring's favourite player. Chris, how are you going? And who was your player of the round last week? I assume it was Kyle Felt.
Yeah, he's definitely not my favourite player, but yeah, ever since he celebrated like he won the grand final with, falling over the line and breaking the Cowboys, he has picked up a bit, so good on him. Started with the Cowboys mid-season turnaround. Anyway, my play of the round, it's a little bit, there's lots of conversations going on around him at the moment, and rightly so. Getting some more recognition, which I think he deserves. Jahrome Hughes, very good. It's my Tigers. Just a clinical performance, really. It's just so important to that side. The Storm, I don't think they've ever been playing 100% or to their capacity, but Munster's been out, Pappenhausen retired, and then he came back. I just want to contribute to that, I guess, nod of appreciation for Jahrome Hughes and how, people say he's underrated. I don't think he is. I think everyone knows kind of how good he is. But just does a really good job, leads that team around really well. Doesn't play down to the opponent, has a very high, impact every week. So, yeah, I'm with Jahrome Hughes.
Me too. That was my choice as well. And Friendy said that Kalamatungi might be the player of the month. If there's someone to challenge him, it might well be Jahrome Hughes.
I think Hughes might be Dally M favourite, I reckon.
He'd be just about in that conversation. I feel like Hines has dropped off. Edwards has been injured in Origin.
Walker a chance, maybe? Like Sam?
Sam's been good. I don't think he'll win, but
Hughes and Sam, I reckon, would be, yeah. I'm of the opinion Jerome Hughes is the squarest playing half in the comp.
He may well be. I think Kieran Foran's in that conversation
too.
Yeah,
true. Yeah.
But yeah, I would agree with that. Jack Whiten maybe. In terms of a halfback, probably Jerome or Kieran. Yeah, yep. I think that's about right. Let's talk about State of Origin. Now, game three, as I mentioned, the squads have been named. I wouldn't say too many surprises, I don't think. I would like to pick the brains of the New South Wales boys. The two changes that were made, one of them was forced, one of them was not. So Latrell Mitchell is out injured. Liz Frank injury could be out for a bit. So Bradman Best is the person that has been given that opportunity. Now, I actually read today that he has been struggling to get through training. And in fact, he hasn't trained with the team fully yet. So Matt Burton, the 18th man, has been training at left centre. So keep an eye on that situation. They're pretty confident that Best will play, but he hasn't trained fully yet with the team. This is Wednesday, of course. We've got a week to go. And on the bench, Mitchell Barnett joins the team instead of Hamole Olakau'atu, who has dropped back to the reserves within the squad. Friendy, I'd love to hear your thoughts about the elevation of Bradman Best and Mitchell Barnett.
Yeah, I think it's well-deserved for both of them. I think Barnett has been unlucky to not be in the side most of the series already. I think Chris maybe said that the other day, and you know, I tend to agree. Bradman, I think, yeah, he blitzed him in game three last year. Mm-hmm. Played really well, deserves his spot. I think he's an out-and-out left centre. He's really quick. People, I think because of his size, people underestimate his speed. Jeez, he's fast. Yeah, I think he's really learned how to defend the last year and a half. He seems to just sort of show the opposition centre the outside and chase him out with his speed, which really only gives them one side to go. They can't go back inside on his inside shoulder because it's too far the other way. So I think that's a smart move from him, and he's really benefited greatly from that. And yeah, pretty happy for Bradman. He, Lawrence Leggy, one of our avid listeners, his brother-in-law was a referee, an aspiring NRL referee, and he, I think he did the Papua New Guinea, what's that, the Prime Minister's 13?
Mm-hmm.
He did the Prime Minister's 13 earlier this year and then got a brain tumour. So having a trivia night for him in a couple of weeks, and Bradman, I spoke to a mate of mine, he spoke to Bradman and he's got a signed jersey frame for him and all that. So, yeah, he's a good fella too. So, happy for him.
Awesome. And, I mean, he's only 22 years old. I think people forget sometimes how young he is because he's been around for a bit. I think he debuted when he was like 18. And you talk about that defense. I wonder if, obviously, a bit more experience, so he's able to position his body really well, but also just we talk about man strength, right? He's always been strong, but you feel like he's probably starting to grow into that, hey?
Yeah, I think so. He's so a lot of people speak about his old man. He played a little bit for Manly and stuff like that. But his mum, beach sprinter, believe it or not. And
Damien, was his mum Damien Cook?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So yeah, boom tish. But he gets a bit of his athleticism from her as well. So and just quietly for a meathead footballer, did you see his missus the other day, Jeff Fenwick's daughter? He's, I don't know how a young man from Woi Woi has managed that, but he's done quite well for himself.
Central Coast legend, Bradman Best. Chris, I'd love to hear your thoughts on the same selections.
Yeah, please. I agree with the bringing in Mitch Barnett. Olakau'atu hasn't done much wrong. It's just about he hasn't kind of just had the opportunity. And I think the justification for Barnett was he can play front row and back row. So given, you know, if it's into the same, I guess, what's the word I'm looking for? Interchange patterns. You know, they just, it can either shift according to the game or, you know, he might, you know, a second row goes down or whatever, he can slowly fill in there. I probably think he probably should have been there since game one, but it's fine. It's unfortunate about Latrell Mitchell. I genuinely believe there's like a mental edge that we have over Queensland when he's there, which is deeply satisfying to me. But unfortunately, he's out. But I do have confidence in Bradman Best, especially at that edge. I think it's a little bit exposed defensively. Queensland's edges So I think they made the right selection. Hopefully he plays. I'd rather him than, I guess, Matt Burton, just for, you know, the speed and threat aspect. So, yeah, I like the selections. I like the team overall. So, yeah.
You mentioned the Latrell Mitchell impact. Before I go to you, Kieran, I would like to just pick your brain on this, Friendly. Do you agree that Trell Mitt, like while Bradman Best is a good replacement, that Trell Mitt just gives New South Wales that extra edge of confidence that they're obviously going to search for from somebody else?
Yeah, massive loss. Massive loss. Played really well last game. His presence around the group. He's moved an international centre to the wing from his performance last game, amongst other things. But yeah, so yeah, big loss, disappointing one, but I think they're well covered in Bradman.
Kieran, I'd love to hear your thoughts about New South Wales' selections. I'm sure you would agree. We watched the game together in game two and game one, actually, and Trell Mitt was a big difference. And I think Friendly's right in saying that he almost single-handedly has forced Queensland's hand on the selection table there. Are you worried about Bradman Best? Do you think he's the best selection for New South Wales? And how do you feel about Barnett?
Bradman Best, I'm very worried about. I always knew he had the ceiling that he's realised this season. Up until this season, I don't think he's quite played to his potential, but this season he's just gone to a whole nother level that, yeah, I knew he'd get there. I just didn't think he would explode the way he has this season, and that scares me. He's averaging 174 metres per game. His tackling, as Friendly said, has gotten a lot better. Breaks numerous tackles every game. He's just, yeah. And as Friendly was saying, not just fast, but so agile for someone who's so stocky. Yeah, that's scary stuff for, as Chris said, the defensive woes of the Queensland backline that were exposed in game two. If Trell Mitt's out, I think you're not doing much worse by picking Bradman Best in his place. Obviously, Trell Mitt would be amazing to have for every game. But yeah, if he's injured, Bradman, you don't lose much with Bradman Best. And Mitch Barnett, as soon as I read what the proposed Queensland bench was, my very first thought was Madge should pick Barnett on the bench instead of Olakau'atu, because if Queensland are picking two smaller guys on the bench, that will really, really give them a huge advantage. Like, if Queensland lose a forward, I'm quite worried, even with the fact that Carrigan and Cotter can play a few different positions in the forwards.
They are utilities, to be fair.
Yes, utilities is the word I was looking for. Yeah, that Mitch Barnett inclusion, I think, is a very smart one from Madge. And as the other guys were saying, I would have done it from game one probably as well, but it's there now for the decider. And yeah, this is a New South Wales team that I'm scared. Like, the last two deciders, 2020 and 2022, Queensland were underdogs. And for some weird reason, the closer it got to game day, the more confidence I have or had. I'm confident that Queensland can get the job done, but I would say that I'm quite scared. This is probably the most nervous I've been about New South Wales getting it done at Suncorp in a decider for a long, long time.
Well, since Andrew Johns back in 2005, what I would say about Bradman Best is that I think he makes his winger a much better player. I think Greg Marju is not a particularly good winger, to be honest, but he is very good at breaking tackles and therefore finishing tries if given a little bit of space. And Bradman Best creates space just with his presence, but also has wonderful silky hands, which he's shown a bunch in the last few weeks. So I think the most similar winger to a guy like Marju, but like obviously a much better winger, is a guy like Brian To'o, who is a tackle bust machine. You don't need to give him much space. And I feel like Bradman Best will only make him better. And Mitch Barnett, he's a debutant and a decider at Queensland. And I don't think he's going to be overawed by the occasion. He seems like an origin suited player. I think they've done really well there. Let's talk about Queensland. They've made some changes. We mentioned that Val Holmes has moved to the left wing. I suspect he may have been dropped. Had it not been for the injuries to Xavier Coates and Murray Taulagi. Those two injuries mean that Holmes moves to left wing to replace Taulagi outside Hamaso, and right centre and right wing are Dane Gagai and Selwyn Cobbo, respectively. Jaden Sewer has also dropped out of the side. He was the starting left back rower. That will be Kurt Capewell this time around. Kalen Ponga comes onto the bench to take that 17 jersey with Trent Liero at jersey 18. Congratulations to him. Kieran, as a Queenslander, I'll let you go first. How do you feel?
I wanted Ponga in the team somewhere, so I'm glad he's there. I still disagree slightly that, if the game is close, then okay, sure. Having close with 60 minutes to go, then sure, it works out well being able to bring Ponga on then. But I don't know, like if time just keeps ticking on and New South Wales are 10 points ahead and we're waiting to bring Ponga on and then Ponga comes on and New South Wales just score a third try almost immediately, it's like, it just feels like a waste. I think Ponga needs to be introduced a bit earlier than the 60th minute. Otherwise, I don't really understand the selection. I think we would have been better served by going with a forward and not Trent Liero or Brendan Piacora. I think it should have been a front rower, but yeah, I guess, as I said before, Carrigan and Cotter and even Felice Kaufusi have that utility value where they can play a few forward, different forward positions. So it does ease my mind a little bit, but yeah, I mean, defensively and even offensively, that Queensland backline versus the New South Wales backline worries me because the New South Wales backline is built on one percenters and effort areas where they're Edwards and To'o are, yeah, just huge meter eaters.
Lomax too.
Yeah, and Lomax. And I feel like the Queensland backline is more of a flashy backline. They're not really known for their yardage game as much. And defensively, I'm quite worried about them. I always have faith in Queensland just because, I don't know, 2020 and 2022 has really given me that confidence that they just, I don't know, when I guess you forget that it's Origin sometimes and no matter the players picked for either state, they rise to the occasion. So we'll see how it goes. I mean, Holmes has like done some absolutely freakish things in Origin before, so maybe
especially on the wing.
Yeah, yeah. There was I think it was in 2020. New South Wales did a dropout, and he somehow scooped the ball back in play, and Cleary almost got it to bounce perfectly, and then go out, and Holmes sort of jumped outside the field and raked it back in somehow. And there's just been a number of small plays like that. There was one 2022 game one where he somehow beat Teddy to the ball.
Yeah, after a clearing kick, it was right in front of us. Me and Chris were there with Miles and a friend of ours, Dan Lang, and that was a huge moment. He shouldn't have got that.
I mean, they win if Teddy picks up that ball and scores. I think New South Wales go on win. So if Holmes is in that kind of mindset and if the Origin Gagai button is switched on and we know what the Hammer can do. And defensively, Hammer is quite sound at centre. So both attack and defence, I'm a bit happier with the Hammer. And Holmes can defend. Like we have seen in 2022, Holmes' defence was really, really good. So I guess I just have to have a bit more faith in what Billy's seeing and thinking. But yeah, obviously the David Fifita dropping was quite strange. Don't understand that, but I am backing in the team that he's picked.
Friendy, you are maybe one of the biggest Kalyn Ponga fans south of the border. Your thoughts on the selection on the bench?
Fantastic player, big fan. And he's done the job before in that position. But I just think, New South Wales dominated the middle last game. I would have thought stiffening up that would have been the preference for the selectors, Queensland selectors and Billy. I don't think Kalyn offers that whatsoever. Attack-wise, brilliant. Absolutely. I don't want him with the ball with 10, 15 minutes to go and games level. Certainly not. But, in terms of there's two sides to the ball, so you've got to defend as well. If we have the ball when he's on there with, I mean, what you say, Ben Hunt, or Harry Grant, one or the other, and Kalyn in the middle, there's sort of room to move there for guys like Payne Haas and things like that for some quick play of the balls and all that stuff. And even if they move Dearden and Kalyn defends out wide, I actually think that's worse. At least he'll have some help in the middle. He's one-on-one with Liam Martin. Good luck. His defense is, almost non-existent for Kalyn sometimes. So, I'm not unhappy with the selection. It also means for mine, Ben Hunt, is that his one stint, one and done? Because he's been known to play a bit of lock previously, and he won't do that if Kalen's there. Well, they can only have one of them. They're not going to have Hunt, Grant, and Kalen in the middle. So does Ben Hunt just play 20 minutes? Does that eat into Harry Grant's time? I can only see positives for New South Wales from that selection for most of it. There is the risk that Kalen breaks a game open and wins it for Queensland. So, yeah.
I was half wondering if they, but obviously Harry Grant's under a slight injury cloud, but I was half wondering if you're Billy, are you thinking start Harry Grant and let him see if he can play at the 80 and have Hunt on the bench, and then however the game goes, you pick between Hunt or Ponga to come on bit earlier?
I mean, that's a waste of...
Yeah, it's still a waste of a bench spot regardless, but I'm just... Because obviously... Like, as you said, the forwards were the New South Wales forwards bodied the Queensland forwards in game two. But I'm just wondering, even from an attacking perspective, I feel like Queensland haven't really got their attacking mojo on in game one or two, really. Like, New South Wales were a man down in game one, and Ponga is just would make such a difference in attack.
Yeah, no, he really would. While Friendy deals with Joey in the background there, we did hear him very briefly. Chris, what are your thoughts on the Kalen Ponga selection?
Yeah, it's a gamble. It's a Tyson gamble.
Tigers legend.
That's one of those things where if it goes up, like if it works, it's going to be like inadvertently successful and Billy Slade will be praised as some kind of savant. Well, I think it's just a bad selection. I think in terms of the way, let's say, you know, Selwyn Cobbo gets injured or Holmes, he's not even really a good person to bring onto the wing. Mm. You know, so let's say it's Cobber or and then Holmes might move to centre and blah, blah, blah. Just like he's not even like a good like wing, at least like Cobber in game one, he kind of, you know, fullback, wing, centre. Yeah, I don't know, to be honest. I fully accept, you know, he's a great attacking player that cause headaches in very specific circumstances. But yeah, it's not great defensively in the line, even if a back gets injured. Doesn't really make much sense for that. So I get why you would pick him, just given the talent, and it's like a talent selection. Like it's good to have him in the 17, but in just terms of how that would be used, I'm just, yeah. I'm not sure, so I'll wait and see. I think it's an odd selection. It's a big risk. I feel like it's only under very specific circumstances that it might be successful. So I'm going to question it, but not too harshly, because I can see it in a like small percentage being successful.
I'm actually feeling pretty good about it, to be honest. I feel like I wanted that selection. And I don't know, he's a different player to 2018 in game two when he came on and played lock for 50 minutes and made 29 tackles and a line break and a try assist or whatever it was. Like, he's a different player and he hasn't played as much recently as Friendy has mentioned in the group chat. But I just have that much confidence in his class that I think I'd rather have him. And in terms of the idea of firming up the front row stocks for Queensland, look around. There's not that many. Like, Christian Welch is an option. Josh Kerr is an option. I don't know. Who else you got? Like Corey Jensen is an option. Like, there's not that many out there at the moment. So no one's knocking the door down like Mitch Barnett was for New South Wales. So
did you pick Xavier Willison for a game?
Is he Queensland available? If he's Queensland, maybe. Oh. Yeah.
Like he's kind of that. He offsets maybe Spencer Lenu a little bit. He's been playing off the bench, making big impact. Pretty sure he played under 20s Queensland. He'd be my pick, Willison. But he hasn't been in the squad or anything. So, I mean, they're not going to rush him in, are they?
No, it's an interesting one for sure. But look, I take all your points that Ponga definitely is weaker in defense than attack by a long shot. And so is Walsh. So what do you do with the two of them? I don't know. I guess... For now, in Billy, we trust. And if it doesn't come off, then in Billy, we question, I suppose, at that point. But that's probably the position that I that I take at the moment. Friendy, let's do some predictions. I'm assuming you're going to go for New South Wales, of course. You always do. Yeah. But how confident are you feeling? There's that Queensland factor, of course, playing at Suncorp. Haven't done it since Joey in a decider. But what sort of game are you envisioning margin-wise, player of the match and player of the series?
I think this will be the fastest game, particularly up at Suncorp, dry surface. The ball movement will be plenty. So I think you need 5 tries to win the game, potentially maybe even more, to be honest. So high scoring, and I'll be looking to, obviously, the creative players for New South Wales to do the business. Mitchell Moses had a brilliant game last game, particularly his kicking game, but that was all because he could do that off the back of the forwards. So I'm actually going to go Payne Haas, man of the match, this game. It's his home ground club-wise, so he's used to that big stadium. I think we saw the best of him last game. I think it's the first time he's made over 200 metres in an Origin game. So, Payne Haas will be my man of the match. And in terms of man of the series, I've probably got, Angus Crichton would be right up there for mine. I guess Payne played really well. If Mitchell Moses has another 10 out of 10, then it's going to be him, isn't it? Mm-hmm. So, I'd be leaning towards Angus Crichton for mine at the moment. And New South Wales, say, 28-22.
High-scoring game. Well, Friendy, thank you very much for your thoughts today. We're going to let you go because we can hear your mum, your lovely mum in the background, and you're going to take Joey and have some time with your mum. So thank you for your time today.
Cheers, lads.
And we'll talk to you soon. Thanks for your predictions.
Cheers, Nate.
While you're there, Kieran, what are you thinking in terms of predictions?
As I said, I'm quite worried. I'm looking at this Queensland team and I agree with Friendy. I think it'll be high scoring. I think New South Wales have more points in them, if I'm perfectly honest. But nonetheless, I'm gonna tip Queensland to win. I've got a scoreline similar to Friendy's, 28-24. I think if Queensland are to win, DCE will be man of the match in what some people are saying could be his last game for Queensland. So that would also make him player of the series because I think he was man of the match in game one. And as a bold, I'm going to say Hammer not only continues his streak of scoring a try in every Origin game he's played, but he'll score twice in a Queensland win.
Jeez, that sounds a bit Big E-esque, that. We'll hear from Big E very soon. Mr. Waring, trying to make me laugh in the little side panel here, in the silence, just in the dark of night, just sitting there trying to make me laugh about people's bums. Chris, give me some predictions.
I'm confident. Hey, I'm not even being parochial about it. I think I'm fairly level-headed. I'm pretty confident. I think we'll win by, New South Wales will win by 10 to 12. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I sense weakness. There's blood in the water, I feel. I just the Queensland team just looks a little bit old, a little bit odd in some spots. So, I think New South Wales by 10 to 12. I agree with previous sentiments that it'll probably be a high-scoring game. I just don't think it'll be – I just think if it's not a nail-biter, those games tend to, there'll be a try at the end that might extend the natural margin a bit. There's nothing really to play for if the game's over. So, I've got New South Wales with that. Played a series, a tough one. It usually lends itself to a member of the spine, but New South Wales, Edwards only played one game, Moses played one game, Robson's not going to get it.
Years, Queensland forwards have got it. So Paddy Carrigan got it in 2022 and Ruben Cotter last year. So maybe there could be a change in the way that works.
Yeah, I was with Fran, probably leaning Angus Crichton. Probably Angus Crichton. I think Toto is kind of, he's like so good. He's so good every game that I feel like he doesn't get the flowers he deserves sometimes.
I agree.
Yeah. There's plenty of options. Payne Haas could be an option. If I was a betting man, I'd probably go Angus Crichton, maybe Mitchell Moses if it's like a really good game. But I don't really agree with the two game player of the series. But so I'll go Crichton, Angus Crichton.
Last time we had a two game player of the series, it was probably Munster. Although he did technically play three games, but he played like 2 minutes of the second game in 2020. Prior to that, it was Billy Slater, who played two games in a losing series and got player of the match, player of the series. That was quite something. That was a meme. I think it still might be a meme in some circles of the online community. I was worried to ask the question just in case when he was like, "Oh, Billy Slater, give it to him." But, that last
Hines will get 6 Dellian points.
He will. Yes, true. I'm thinking. Look, I'm obviously going to go for Queensland, but I'm thinking New South Wales. I'm with you, Chris. Like about halfway through the camp for Origin 2, my tip changed from Queensland in a narrow one to New South Wales in a narrow one, with Mitchell Moses to be the player of the match, and it turned out to be Mitchell Moses player of the match with an absolute juggernaut. And you mentioned, Chris, with margins, sometimes, you know, when there's a bit of a lead, sometimes that lead comes back a little bit in the margin, or sometimes it blows out a bit. In game two, it came back. Like, New South Wales clocked off a little bit. They were 34 points in front at halftime. So winning by 20 was a bit misleading, I think, in that game. It's just like, it was the first game when Queensland won by 28. I think New South Wales have been clearly the best team this series, apart from some key moments in game one. And I think, yes, the Queensland hoodoo's a thing. Yes, Origin spirit, mate, is a thing. But I just think, I think New South Wales have got the clearly better side. I thought it from game one. I thought on paper, New South Wales had the much better team. And it's only gotten better. Maybe game two was the best because they had Trelmitt instead of Braden Best, but that's minor. So I'm thinking 10 or 12 as well, Chris. I think New South Wales by 10 or 12 on a fast track. I agree with the sentiment that Angus Crichton is in the box seat. He's been outstanding in both games and outstanding most of the year for the Roosters. Player of the match. Now, this is the pressure one because I've got 2 out of 2 so far this series. I'm going to go Cameron Murray. I'm going to go Cameron Murray for player of the match with Angus Crichton, player of the series in a New South Wales win. And if I was to go for a bold prediction, I would say that New South Wales is winning by 16 or more at halftime. I think they could bully Queensland out of the gate and really put some heat on Queensland to the point that Kalyn Ponga being on the bench might be a moot point. It might be too far gone by the time he's even injected into the game. That's my thought. That's my feeling. I kind of hope that I'm wrong, but that's what I think might happen. Someone else that would hope that I'm wrong is the Big E. Let's hear from him with his phenomenal tip of the week.
G'day, boys. This is the Big E. I am going to do my Big E phenomenal tip of the week for today. For today, for tomorrow. My first Biggie Pinolo tip of the week, I am going to care for the first match. I am going to care Dolphins, keeping the Sharks, keeping Tottenham's Broncos, and keeping many Seagulls. Sorry, Friendly, I go for Mrs. Stedman's team. That's okay, though. And also, I am going to care my team again. Let's go Maroons for the last game, number 3. Here we come. And for my overtime prediction, I am actually going to say Hamza Tabla-Avida will get a try. Kanmai Nanai will get a try too. And Deli Jeffrey Evans will get a try as well. And Fanatam Holmes will get a winning goal. This is a long prediction, by the way. That's my overtime one. And my other prediction, I am going to say Mark Nichols and Shane O'Sullivan will get a winning try, and Jermaine Masako will get a winning goal. That is my prediction, and I am going to say congratulations to the Gold Coast Titans, won 20-16. That is my Big E Pinolo tip of the week for today, for tomorrow. And enjoy the pod, and yes, wish me luck for my speech. for the World Dive Syndrome Congress. Thank you, boys. Have a good night. And Biggie out. Wood. And hello, Luca. And also, Doggies for money.
Your brother, seriously. Now, Kieran, why don't you tell us a little bit about the speech that he's talking about? Because at the moment in Brisbane is the World Down Syndrome Congress. And, of course, we do wish the Big E best of luck with his speech. Yeah, tell us about it.
Yeah, so he's giving a speech a bit about, so we've had an upbringing where we came up through Australia and Dubai, and he did his high schooling in Dubai and then worked in a cafeteria in Dubai. But since then, he's been back in Australia and working for Coles. So the speech is about what's happened in his life since 2018, since he came back from Dubai and has been living in Australia. And with the help of the NDIS funding, he's been able to improve his speech. We're very lucky with him. He's very literate and can speak well for himself. But the help of the NDIS and speech therapy sessions has really improve that. So he's been selected to give a speech about being the king of Coles at Greenslopes Coles, and how he got hired because he's not a New South Wales fan, but yeah, just advocating for people with Down syndrome and what you can do to make them feel welcome in the workplace. And I think he's going to do a good job of it.
He's been practicing his speech and sending it through to the lads. Sorry, Chris, by the way, if teaching doesn't work out and you want a job at Greenslopes Coles in Brisbane, unfortunately, you're a New South Wales fan, so you won't be hired.
Yeah, that's all right. I don't do much anyway. My job is teaching, so. Yeah, it's funny because I used to work at Woolworths, so that might be a state divide of these monopolous conglomerates we all have in our country.
Yeah, this lovely duopoly. Like, if anything, the Big E's the bad guy, really, if we think about it. He works for the machine. Let's not get into it. That'll let him confuse the Big E. Although the Tigers did wreck the Sharks earlier this season. So, look, obviously a big congratulations to the Big E to be selected to give a speech like this. This is a huge event. People from all over the world are coming, have converged upon Brisbane for the World Down Syndrome Congress. And we are very proud of the Big E and the small role that we play in helping him build his confidence. I was saying to Kieran and Friendy before Chris arrived for today's episode that he sends through his predictions every week in video format so I can trim it for audio and stuff and present it live for the boys during the show. And the amount of editing I've do on it has dropped dramatically in the last, I want to say, 6 to 8 months. He's made huge improvements. I probably edit his speeches about as much as I do our own. So he's really making some ground. So congratulations, Big E. We're very proud of you. And you probably won't hear this before your speech, but good luck tomorrow. Let's talk about the upcoming round of Rugby League, gentlemen. Round 19. It starts on Thursday night from KO Stadium in Redcliffe. Don't call them the Redcliffe Dolphins, against the South Sydney Rabbitohs. Chris, who do you like for the Dolphins and Rabbitohs?
Well, yeah, it's Wayne Bennett against Wayne Bennett. As has been alleged, he's coaching once more. So I feel like the Rabbitohs really turned their season around. They're welcome, by the way, as I think most of us in the pod said, hey, just play Jack White and Cody Walker, the best players outside Trotmuth in the halves. And they must have listened to the podcast and done that. So
yeah, I think so.
Yeah, they got rid of their AI-generated halfbacks and just played their two best players. So by the way, Liam LeBlanc is up there for best names in the NRL.
Very rugby union kind of name. Very shoot shield.
It is, yep. I'm going to go the Rabbitohs, I think. Actually, no, I'm going to go Dolphins. And I'm putting this solely down to some kind of like coaching psychology. I just think they'll play them like a bit better, the Dolphins, than the team he's going to coach next year. I don't know. I It's really pointing. I'm just talking shit. I am going to go to Dolphins, though, but it's 50-50 for me.
Yeah, it feels close, doesn't it? I think Notrell Mitt makes a difference. Dry Gray is not a bad player. I feel like the Dolphins get more out of Trey Fuller than the Rabbitohs get out of Jai Gray, if you know what I mean. So I'm going to go with the Dolphins as well. The Big E, this was his bold prediction. He had Mark Nichols and Sean O'Sullivan to come off the bench and score a try each in a Dolphins win with a Jermaine Asako goal. That's probably pretty straightforward. But yeah, good luck, Big E, with that bold prediction. Kieran, who do you like in this one?
Yeah, I've got the Dolphins. I had the Rabbitohs tips, but I think the TPJ rather factor is probably going to push me over the line to go with the Dolphins. But also the fact, yeah, I think the Dolphins back line from 1-7, including the halves, is either matches or is better than the Rabbitohs 1-7. I know that the Rabbitohs have Whiten and Walker in the halves, but that Isaiah Katoa is having some season. Yeah, I'm going to go with the Dolphins.
The next game is the Sharks and Tigers from Friday night at PointsBet Stadium, which is the Sharks' home ground, of course. No Nicho Hynes, hurt himself at training. By the way, shout out to Nicho Hynes. Apparently he like saved someone from jumping off a bridge or talked them down from jumping off a bridge. So that's, you know, huge from one of the good guys of the game. But, you know, karma has dealt him a cruel blow there. So Atkinson moves from the wing into the 5/8 position, otherwise fairly unchanged for the Sharkies, except for Talakai, who absolutely dropped Sam Verrills. that was an ugly tackle. The Tigers have made some changes. I'm confident, though, about the Tigers, to be honest, in this game, because Alex Lobb is on the wing there, and I'm feeling pretty good about the Rock Lobster, as we've decided to start again. So, Chris, are you equally confident about your team?
No, it's but they didn't. But they weren't awful against the Storm last week. If the Tigers can just stop getting sin bin, like if they can just stop doing that, like three quarters away into the season, it's actually incredible. Like they just keep getting sin bin.
Yeah, dumb shit too. Far Tape's one on the weekend was dumb.
That's so idiotic. Like it just, I mean, that would go a long way. But they're showing signs. They are showing signs of improvement. I think some of the coaching stuff is there. It's just, I don't know, it's just more moments of idiocy, and also just it's just like a skill issue. Like the fact Alex Lobb and Fatape in first grade is, you know, not great. Yeah, although the forward pack looks decent this week. Anyway, I'm going to go to the Sharks. I have no confidence. I think the Sharks will probably. Might be a good time to see, oh, all right, we can finally turn around our form. Who do we have? The West Tigers. So, a chance to revitalize their season.
They'll be looking for a bounce back after their loss to the Titans last week. Kieran, who do you think?
I'm going to go with it's not the dog in the fight, but the fight in the dog analogy, and go with the Tigers. I think they've got a bit more fight in them.
All right. Yeah, that's just the lobby factor. the Rock Lobster. I haven't stopped thinking about that since Friendy coined it in the group chat yesterday. The Rock Lobster. I'm obsessed. The next game is sorry, Chris.
Sorry, I just want to add, who do we think is going to get sin bin this week for the Tigers? I'm going to go John Bateman.
Oh, that's he's going to be like one of the early favorites, eh? I feel like it could be a back. I might back in Lobby.
The Rock Lobster.
Yeah, back him in. What do you think, Kieran? Who's getting sin binned?
I'll go with Dewey to get himself sent and suspended for a longer term than what his injury that he just came back from.
Jesus. Yeah, suspend the guy. Like, what's he going to do? Bloody, performance-enhancing drugs mid-game? Like, Asada gets involved? I don't know. I saw a stat the other day. It was something like the last four weeks during they've had, like, a sin bin each game or something. Or, like, during those sin binnings, the scoreline had been 50-0 against them. It's just like, just stop getting sin bin, guys. It was 12-0 last week. They would have drawn that game. But alas. Titans and Eels from Cbus should be packed out on a Saturday at 5:30. What better way to spend your time on the Gold Coast? You hit the beach during the day, you hit Cbus during the early evening, and then hit Cavill Avenue to get your drink spiked or some shit and get stabbed. Like that, what better way is there to spend your time, Kieran? Who do you think is going to win, the Titans or the Eels?
I am going to go with the Titans. I really like the way Dez has got them playing the last, I don't know, maybe 6 to 8 weeks. They've been much improved. I still kind of like that Eels team and can't understand how they're running last, even with the fact that Moses, their clear leader at the moment, has been out for so long. And yeah, I mean, Hopgood makes quite a big difference in the drop in form of Gutherson. I would actually be looking to move Gutherson on at the end of the season if he's off contract. But that's another story. I'm going to go and tip the Eels for this one.
I respect the hell out of Trent Barrett, to be honest, knowing that he's not getting the job next year. Jason Riles has been appointed head coach for the Eels. Instead of just, you know, picking and sticking with the same old guys that haven't been that great this season, he's dropped Cartwright to the bench. He's dropped Sean Lane to the bench. He's dropped Sean Russell entirely. He's brought in Lorenzo Mulitalo for his debut, I think, on the wing. He's got Matt Dury at back row. He's got Charlie Geimer, who came in last week on debut and just like rocked some people's shit in that Rabbitohs game. So I respect it for the Nathan Peets Cup, but I'm going to go with the Titans. What do you think, Chris?
Yeah, look, I want to have faith in the Titans, but they are just as likely to come out and play like shit. It's a tough one. Both former centers, interesting starting center.
With Philip Sami on the bench.
Yeah. Well, you think you would just swap that out and put, I don't know, Cleese Haas or Chris Randall back to the bench? I don't know. I'm going to Titans just because I just, if they had Mitchell Moses, I would tip Parramatta, but they don't. So I think that's going to be the difference. Yeah, it's actually crazy how this team is equal last, given the players in the 17.
Anyway,
I'll go to Titans, but I'm not massively confident.
You just can't be with the Titans. They're so hard to tip, those bastards. The next game is also in Queensland, Southeast Queensland. A bit of a Southeast Queensland flavour for most of the games this week with Redcliffe and then Gold Coast and then Brisbane on Saturday night, 7:35, Broncos versus the Dragons. Broncos still hit by, obviously, Origin, but injuries as well. Dragons, yeah, like they're one of those inconsistent teams as well. Chris, what do you think?
Yeah, this is a tough one. Broncos have been on the slide quite considerably.
I think it's five in a row now.
Yeah, and you would think that might have to turn around, but there's nothing that really indicates that. Yeah, Dragons, I mean, they're obviously an improved side, but they're just not consistent. So, you know, Flanagan should be praised for that, but they are a hard team to gauge, you know, week to week, because they can be very up and down. I'm going to apply a similar logic here that I applied to the previous game. I'm going to go the Broncos because the loss of Ben Hunt, I think, significantly impacts the Dragons, although I probably like their 17, I guess, like more of their 17 compared to the Broncos at the moment. But, and I do understand that the Broncos have significant outs as well, including Jock Madden. So that's another halfback, I guess, legend that they're now adding. So, I don't know. Like, I kind of think I should tip the Dragons, but I'm going to tip the Broncos just because I just think they're going to win. Like, they're going to win a game, but their form doesn't really indicate that. So I'm kind of just like, yeah, like kind of guessing, to be honest. But I'm going to go Brisbane.
I think I'm going to go the Dragons. Like what you say, across the 18, really, they got Jack Bird at number 18. He came back through New South Wales Cup last week. You'd have to assume he's a shout of getting a game somewhere in that side. I think the Dragons in the Anthony Mundine Trophy. What do you think, Kieran?
I'd just like to firstly point out that Billy Slater said that Jaden Sewer called him and said that he'd like to rule himself out for Origin 3 because of some niggling injuries, and he's playing this weekend. So another one to add to the David Fifita collection.
Is that legit?
Yeah, yeah. If you watch his 16-minute presser after the team was announced on Monday, yeah, he literally says...
Yeah. Niggly injuries, he keeps saying, yeah.
He's so full of shit. He's such a wanker.
Like, honestly, Billy Slater, like, doesn't he reek of politician? Don't you get that vibe? Like, he's always on message, like to the point that it's actually kind of embarrassing at times. Like, last couple of years, it's worked out fine because the results have been good, but... this year the results are tricky, and that we're still Queenslanders thing, it just sounded exactly like, you know, the bill you can't afford, you know, like one of those like weird taglines that politicians come up with to stay on brand and message. Geez, he reminds me of a politician so much.
It's like that, I don't know, when I kept repeating it, it was like that clip of Tony Abbott when he's just like silently nodding. And so-
After the Onion?
No.
That's a different one.
Doesn't say anything.
There's some comment about he made about some kind of Australian troops in Iraq or something, and then he was like, the guy was asking about like disrespectful, and he's like, "You're not saying anything, Tony." He's just like not saying anything, nodding at him.
Yeah. Do you understand? You're not saying anything.
Yeah, that one. I don't get why he can't just say like, "Oh, he's like we're not selecting him." Like, who? What are you afraid of? You're the coach. Just back up your decision.
Yeah, like you're bringing the Dally M medalist in. Like, just say that. Like, we needed to find room for Kalen. We wanted Kurt Capel to start. Jaden was unfortunate. Like, that's probably the truth.
I mean, the Blues literally dropped Olakau'atu. He didn't really do anything wrong after, like, completely destroying the whole Queensland side. And there wasn't any, like, oh, you know, he just sacrificed his position for the good of the team. Or, like, he has a... like, just own it. Just what that, like, I don't know. It's embarrassing. This is partly why I dislike him so much. It's just like, well, what are you, like, what the fuck are you saying? Just, he's like a weasel. Anyway.
No, it's politician vibes. Anyway, you're right, Kieran. He did definitely say that Jaden Sewer has some niggling injuries. Now, that might, like, as an Origin coach, you might take that into consideration and you might go, look, a club game against the Broncos is very different to an Origin decider, and we want 100% fit players. But then he's also picked Kalen Ponga, Selwyn Cobbo, you know, people who have recently had Hamaso after his AC joint. So yeah, it is mixed messaging at best.
As Chris says, it's like to what effect is he doing that? Like it has no effect whether you tell the truth or, well, I mean, it has an effect if you tell a lie. Like if you tell the truth, nobody bats an eye. But if you tell a lie the way you are, it's like, what the fuck? Like what, this is for what reason, to what effect? It doesn't do anything.
Yeah, that'd be very funny. Is if he is actually out of this game and Jack Bird comes in and takes his spot because he does have a few niggles, that would be very funny at this point.
Well, yeah, maybe. I don't know. I have to agree with Chris. Like, I like Slater, but he's making himself look like a dickhead lately.
Yeah, he really is.
I'm going to go the Dragons as well against the team I hate most in the competition, but that's not the reason why. But, yeah, I mean, the Dragons beat the Panthers in Penrith the last Origin round. I'm going to tip them to knock over the Broncos at Suncorp, which would be pretty impressive to do that against the Broncos and
keep them very in the hunt for the top eight. And the Broncos would start to lose touch with the eight if that happens, because it essentially guarantee that they'd be two wins outside the eight in round 19. And then we're looking at a very real possibility of 2 years in a row, the previous grand finalists missing the eight entirely, which is fairly rare. So that'll be, I don't know, it is desperate measures for both teams, but the Broncos were expected to do so much better. Anyway, a couple of teams that stand a good chance of moving further in front of the Broncos as well are the Seagulls and Knights from Four Pines Park on Sunday afternoon. Kieran, who do you like?
Yeah, it's interesting to see that Turbo they've put straight back to fullback after they said he would play centres for a while. Mm. I just don't have confidence in that Knight side without Ponga in it and that halves. I don't know what's happened to Jackson Hastings at the Knights, but I thought he was a real signing when they got him initially.
Me too.
Yeah, I'm gonna go the Manly Seagulls at Brookvale.
Jamie Humphreys playing halfback. It was interesting that they've resisted the urge to move Luke Brooks into the halfback spot. They're keeping him at 5'8". Probably a good move, in my opinion. I'm also going to go for the Sea Eagles. Home ground advantage, I think, makes a difference. What do you think, Chris?
From 10 years viewing experience, keeping Luke Brooks out of halfback is definitely a good option for the Sea Eagles, despite people trying to, you know, he turned his career around.
That's some Harvard thinking from Seabold.
Yeah. It's also funny that like half of the Manly spine is literally like Tigers, Luke Brooks and Jake Simpkin. Yeah, it is. It's not really, yeah, it's interesting Tom Dvorovic straight back at fullback. I thought it was really good that they were like, okay, he's going to come back as a center. And then I was like, oh, sweet, cool. Like this might ensure some, you know, consistent on the park footy less. I'm pretty sure, I can't remember who posted it once. I can't remember what it was. I think he did a video about like the strain on the body in both different positions for like averages. Like it's pretty much said that like fullback and the fullback's role like is more prone to like wear and tear, sustained injuries, like a hamstring or something. So
hamstrings, yeah.
Yeah, I thought that was a great direction. Tom Dvorovic can you know have an incredible sustained period of his career at centre. He's proven that in Origin, so there's no reason why he couldn't replicate it at club level. So anyway, I just think it's odd to see him back there. I'm sure.
Especially, by the way, with Lehi Hopewadi, who has been playing fullback recently at a pretty decent standard, picked on the wing when you could have just left Tommy Taliau on the wing and Tom Dvorovic at centre.
Yeah, well, I actually think Garrick should be on the wing. I don't think he's a centre, to be honest. But anyway, so touch wood, hopefully he's okay. Well, it goes all right. The night side without Ponga just looks awful, to be honest. Hastings has had a bit of a fall off. Not that, you know, he was at Tigers, but he had a pretty good reputation there when he left. So, I think Knights had the better bench, I think, by quite a considerable margin, but I think Manly starting 13 is a bit better. I'm going to go Manly in a close one. So,
I mean, actually, now that I really look at it, it's like, you know, I think the Knights do have the better bench. I think the Knights have a better forward pack when they're performing to their standard. Halves are probably in the Knights' favour, and the back line would be definitely in the Sea Eagles' favour. So, I mean, it should be a good game, hopefully. But yes, I think we've all gone for the Sea Eagles there. Boys, thank you very, very much. Thank you to Friendy, who left us a little bit earlier. Thank you to the Big E for his contribution. We're not going to have an episode next week before Origin, so I hope everyone enjoys Game 3, and I'm really hoping for a good close contest. I didn't predict it, but I hope it is one. Chris, do you have any plans for your Origin viewing next week?
I've been spending the games at home. I've traditionally kind of gone out for it, but this year I've just decided to watch it at home, which I quite enjoy. So I think I'll continue that. It's the quiet one at home.
Well, enjoy, and thank you for your for joining us today, Kieran. We've watched the last two together. Should we do it? Make it three times a charm?
Yeah, why not? I mean, I really enjoy, especially a decider, just with one or two other people, so you can really concentrate on the game. I think this will be one of the all-time deciders. Hopefully, I think Queensland really need to hang in there in that first half. Those first 20, 30 minutes will be crucial. But if they're close at halftime, I think it'll go down to the wire and be an instant classic, as we say, on the pod. So, no, I'm keen.
It may well be, yes. And shout out to friend of the pod, Pauline Hanson. I found out that she's a friend of the pod recently. So shout out to Pauline Hanson with her excellent politics that we all agree with. Shout out to, as I said, Friendy for joining us. Shout out to Miles for staying away. Shout out to the Big E. Thank you both very much for joining me. And shout out to all the listeners. We hope you enjoyed the show. I was only kidding about Pauline Hanson. Please don't believe me. That's about as far from the political spectrum as I can get. But if you do enjoy the show, please subscribe. Make sure you like us on Facebook so you can catch all the latest episodes. There won't be one next week, but there will be one after State of Origin and after round 20. So until then. A Above the Horizontal is a rugby league podcast by the fans and for the fans. It's produced by our entire team of former writers for Real Sport, including Daniel Friend, Christopher Waring, Miles Stebbin, Kieran Gibson, and me, Bo Nicholson. We'd love it if you could support us by telling a rugby league fan about us so they can go above the horizontal as well. Thanks for listening. See you next time.